for God and country and gratitude to Larry's Automotive and Transmission Repair, a fine example of American exceptionalism. This is KLZ 560.
It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It's almost unbelievable that Trump has extricated the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. Would greatly appreciate it if you would like and follow me. And offering you a conservatarian perspective. Very excited about this Vino and Veritas Federalist Papers book club that we are doing. The next one will be Monday, March 25th. I'm partnering with Dr. Tom Kranowitter, Bethany, and his team, plus Jen Hewlin, owner of Water's Edge Winery in Centennial, to bring you Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth. Dr. Kranowitter has created a fascinating lecture series on the Federalist Papers. We're meeting the fourth Monday of each month throughout 2019. The good news is we're sold out, and the good news is we are starting Vino and Veritas Castle Rock. So email me at kim@americhicks.com if you're interested. And we really appreciate our presenting sponsors at Water's Edge Wineries, Vino and Veritas. And that January was Harmony Ridge Construction, building homes and usually making friends in the process. February's presenting sponsor was Susan Kochevar, owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Spring is just about here, and she plans to open sometime in late March. And March's presenting sponsor is Heidi Ganahl and her Free to Be Coalition, promoting free speech and diversity of thought. And if you'd like to be a presenting sponsor, or again, if you would like more information regarding Vino and Veritas Castle Rock, email me at kim@americhicks.com. So, producer Steve, are you ready for today's funny?
I can't wait.
Okay. A capitalist, a socialist, and a communist have a meeting for tea at noon. The capitalist and communist arrive on time, but the socialist is nowhere to be found. Finally, he arrives out of breath and apologetic. "I'm sorry," says the socialist. "I was standing in line for a sausage." The capitalist says, "What's a line?" And the communist says, "What's a sausage?" I'm glad the drummer's back. I missed him yesterday. Must have been a Monday morning.
It's not the same one. It's I got a new guy, but he didn't know he had to be here this early. He missed yesterday. Sorry.
Okay. I'm glad that he's back. Or I'm glad he's here. That's good. So inspirational. And this is actually going to segue somewhat into one of our topics that we'll be talking about. But that is Henry Ford. He said, "If I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. But the key is there if I ask people what they wanted it, instead of government telling people what they think people should want." So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We've got a big show planned for you. We're going to go through headlines this first segment. The second, third, and fourth segment, a great conversation with Joshua Scharf. You know, he is an expert really on education, funding, para, Tabor, and there's been just these continual kind of bites at charter schools and charter school funding. As many of you know, charter schools are public schools. They receive public dollars, and the parents typically come together to open up a charter school. And it's a great option for people that may feel that the school that their kids have been going to doesn't really fit their needs, or, you know, perhaps the results have been, you know, they're just not having great results. I think of that single mom in, you know, a failing school in an inner city. Well, charter schools have really come in and been able to address those needs. And of course, a lot of these people cannot afford to send their kids to private schools. So it's a great option. And Coloradoans like options. But what we're seeing is the state legislature, local school boards such as Boulder Valley School District, which denied the charter for Ascent Classical Academies, that they're taking away choices. And we're going to talk with Joshua what they're doing regarding funding down at the State House. So that's going to be in segments 2, 3, and 4. So be sure and listen in so that you understand what's happening there. But let's go through some headlines, Steve. First thing, very interesting, Fremont County, Custer County, and now possibly Weld County are going to declare themselves as Second Amendment sanctuary counties. And I find this interesting. It's kind of taking a play on sanctuary cities and turning it on its head. And we talk about local control, which that is another issue that they're bringing up. Local control is in this oil and gas potential legislation. But the thing to understand is that you can have local control on something as long as it doesn't buck up against the Constitution. So in this case, with Fremont County, Custer County, and possibly Weld County noting themselves as Second Amendment sanctuary counties, I believe that is really constitutional. And in fact, that is the right thing to do because the Second Amendment was put in place not only for people to be able to protect themselves against bad actors, but to be able to protect themselves against a tyrannical government. And Noah Webster, who was one of the founders, in 1787, if this was his paper, An Examination of the Leading Principles of the Federal Constitution. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any brand of regular troops that can be on any preference raised in the United States. So we talked with Laura Carno yesterday on this HB 19 1177, which is basically saying that people could be disarmed if someone else says that they're dangerous. There's no due process. And it really is, I believe, an assault on everyday law-abiding citizens, their right to bear arms. Steve, what do you think?
Well, I guess let's back up a second. I want a clarification because I saw this out there and I'm, it forced me to go into it in more detail, which is a good thing. But these three counties are saying, irregardless of what might happen at the state level, we're going to push for Amendment 2, as we've always known it, and we will continue to observe it. Is that correct?
That is my understanding.
Okay.
Now sheriffs are elected here in Colorado. The sheriff is elected by the people, whereas police chiefs are hired by the city councils or town councils. So sheriffs are directly accountable to the people, and that's why it is really important to elect sheriffs that do believe in the Second Amendment. And of course, there was a wave of losses, I would say, this last election cycle for sheriffs that really believe in the Second Amendment. For example, Arapahoe County, a Democrat was elected where that is one other thing that we need to make sure that all of our sheriffs do support the Second Amendment. There have been some Republican sheriffs that have supported this red flag bill, and I'm really concerned about it because there's no due process in these red flag bills that have been presented. And due process, of course, is in the Constitution, saying that if you are accused of a crime, you cannot be convicted of that crime without going through due process. And these things, basically, these red flag bills say that someone is guilty, they take their firearms, and then the person has to actually prove that they're not dangerous. So you could have an old ex-girlfriend, perhaps a family member that might have lived with you for a while that, you may disagree on things, and they can accuse you, and your firearms can be taken away, and the burden of proof then is for you to prove that you're not dangerous and not crazy. And if somebody is that serious, Steve, if they are a concern to society, if they are really dangerous, then you would need to take away the knives, you would need to take away the car, you would need to take everything away. So if that person is so dangerous, instead of taking the gun away, I think you need to take the person, you know, remove them from that situation.
What were those three counties again? Weld, Fremont, and...
Yeah, Fremont and Custer have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuary counties, and it looks like Weld possibly may.
It's interesting because when you first named them, I just assumed that they must be adjoining, and they're not. They're not physically, geographically, they're not adjoining counties.
Right, but ideological, they pretty much are adjoining. And that's why elections matter. You know, the far progressive activist left has been stepping up, and they have really taken over many of these city councils, many of the county commissioners, many of the school boards. Well, hardworking Americans are assuming that the people that they are electing have this vision of the Declaration of Independence, you know, that every person has the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and also that adhere to the U.S. Constitution. And that is not the case anymore. So we're in a battle. We have some really good folks out there that are in city councils and in town councils. They need to hold the line, and we need to start to make sure that we elect people that understand the Constitution and that will protect the Constitution. And that's one of the reasons, Steve, why this Vino and Veritas is so important, is people, we need to understand why we believe what we believe, and then we need to make sure that we stand up and protect it. So I think it's just really amazing.
Let me clarify, Custer and Fremont share a border, but obviously Weld is way up north.
Right. So, gosh, we're getting close on time. I'd like to talk just a little bit about this Areva, this Hyperloop. I remember seeing this when I was on city council, and you saw that this, you know, is being pitched to everybody, that there would be this just kind of magic transportation. Where in essence, let's see here, it said that shipments zipping through the Denver area at 200 miles per hour, people getting from their homes to the airport gate in minutes, a new mode of transportation moving people in numbers and speed far beyond what any metro system in the world accomplishes today. And basically CDOT under, Shailen Bhatt kind of bought into this whole thing. And of course, there was money involved with that. And their pitch was, it was Arrivo's, it was their pitch for technology that would propel both specifically designed pods of people's personal cars on sleds at hundreds of miles an hour, running along the medians of existing highways, based on linear electric motors and magnetic levitation. But on November 14th, CDOT, Arrivo, and the E-470 Public Highway Authority announced a partnership to build a test track along E-470. And it didn't quite work out that way. At the end of 2018, Arrivo shut down due to lack of funding. Construction on the test track, originally slated to begin in the first quarter of 2018, never broke ground. Arrivo never completed its feasibility study. And indeed, nothing really happened on that. But I can tell you, when I was on city council, I was hearing words about this whole Hyperloop all the time. And we've got some real transportation people in Colorado that they're doing everything they can to get people out of their cars. And my friend Helen Raleigh, who immigrated from China, said a free society is a society where people can go where they want to, when they want to. A non-free society is a society where people have to wait and they go on somebody else's schedule or on bicycles. So that would be a bike, a bus, and a train. Society. And Steve, you and I consistently talk about, as we drive over to the station, and even during the day, I drive up and down the I-25 corridor, and the trains typically are pretty darn close to empty. So it's, and they're aging now. So there's a tremendous amount of money that will be needed to keep them up to, you know, maintenance on them and keep them, you know, running the way they're supposed to. And they're just a real drain on money. But there's this movement by many politicians, bureaucrats, and pundits to get people out of their cars. But yet they don't want to give up their cars. They just want you to give up your car.
Yes. How often do we see that mindset? Not just with cars. You know, do as I say.
Education.
But not
education.
As I do. Oh, hey, the list is endless.
You know, we're going to talk about education a little bit, but I cannot tell you how many of these politicians, pundits, and bureaucrats that talk about, you know, and they do not advocate, you know, letting people have choices on their kids' education, but yet they have the money, and because they're living off of all of our money, they have the money to send their kids to private schools, but yet they do, you know, they do not support, and they stand in the way, actually, of everyday people being able to choose the educational option that's best for them. It's this whole elitism is so frustrating to me, Steve.
And let's not even, when it comes to elitism, we'll have to save this for another day. At the top of the list here, she's fighting her way up, is AOC, in terms of, you know, again, do as I say, but not as I do.
Yeah, but you know, I'm grateful. She is, the veil is off on what's going on. So let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk to Joshua Scharf about education funding. But before we do that, I love sports. Individuals working hard to be the best they can be, compete, and to win or lose. Hooters Restaurants is my sports headquarters. There's the Nuggets, the Avs, baseball spring training is starting, and it's March Madness. As a KU basketball fan, I love March Madness. Rock Chalk Jayhawks. So Hooters is the place to watch the games. Hooters specials start at $10 for a draft and 10 boneless wings. And Steve, Hooters wings can fly. You can have them delivered right to your front door. So when the girls come over on Wednesday nights, I order Hooters new smoked wings. They're delicious, half the calories, so you don't feel guilty. And the girls love them. So order your Hooters wings to go or have them delivered right to your front door. More information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And let them know that you know the Americhicks. We'll be right back.
All Americhicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the Americhicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Americhicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at Americhicks.com. That's Americhicks.com.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the Americhicks with Kim Munson. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The Americhicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks with Kim Munson, where I dissect the issues, news, politics, and opinion. Is right versus wrong instead of right versus left? Agree or disagree? Let's have a conversation. Check out my website, Americhicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I'll keep apprised of upcoming guest topics and important events. And I am the Americhicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. Would greatly appreciate it if you would like and follow me. And I offer a conservatarian perspective. Thrilled to have in studio with me Joshua Scharf. It's great to have you here.
Good morning, Kim.
You are the my go-to guy on education.
That's alarming.
Tabor, yeah. with the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, PARA, the Public Employees Retirement Association. You are one smart guy. I don't know how you have all the time to do everything you do.
You make time, but you know, listen, I mean, a lot of the data is there. You just got to look for it.
Well, for sure. And one other thing though, you do in your spare time is you have an amazing photography business.
Thank you very much. I love, we are in a target rich environment when it comes to photography when we live out here in Colorado. And I just love going out and taking pictures of the state. It's a beautiful place.
Well, and so you could do if you're a business that's doing some redecorating or whatever, and want to kind of update your look, those photos would would be a great addition to an office.
That's one of the things that we've seen. We have a co-working space, for instance, down in Greenwood Village, down in the Tech Center area, and they've got four or five of the pictures up there, and people just love them there. So if you're redoing a space, if you're a commercial interior designer, you're redoing a space for somebody else, photo.jsharf.com, and take a look and see if there's something you like.
Okay, one more time, what's that website?
Photo.jsharf, J S as in Sam, H-A-R-F as in Frank.com.
Okay, be sure and check it out. But let's jump into here to education. You know, I think that we as a society believe that we have a responsibility. We want to make sure that our kids get a good education. And one of the things that has been very popular in Colorado is charter schools. And charter schools are actually public schools.
Yes, they are. They're public schools funded by public money, either district and state money, and they are they oftentimes share facilities or use, you know, if they don't necessarily share buildings, they may share other facilities, athletic facilities and that sort of thing, with the public schools, with the neighborhood public schools.
So what is a charter school exactly, Joshua?
It's a school that is set up by parents or by, oftentimes, there's, for instance, KIPP is a corporation that does this, but it's publicly funded, in essence, run by a nonprofit. And they have fewer restrictions in terms of, they have much more freedom, we'll put it that way, in terms of curriculum, in terms of most of the teachers there are not generally unionized, and they have a little more freedom in terms of who they can hire to be teaching there as well. And so basically this allows them to target particular, to target a particular curriculum type. There are some that focus on science, so there are some that focus on, say, a classical type of curriculum. And what this does is this gives parents a choice, as opposed to the standard cookie cutter neighborhood school curriculum that everybody in a particular district has to go with. This may provide them with something that they feel is better suited for their child.
Seems like that's a good option for families to be able to do that.
You know, there was a film, I don't remember, I think it may have been called The Lottery, something like that. It was about 10 years ago now. And there was a scene, this was in Cleveland, one of the early charter school adopted places. Mm-hmm. And there was a scene where, because of the limitation, you know, the limited number of seats, the charter school itself, fortunately, doesn't get to pick and choose who it takes. But there's a lottery to get into these. And it was simultaneously joyous and heartbreaking, because there's a, you know, there were these parents sitting in this room waiting for their child's number to be called, you know, like a bingo, you know, the lottery. And when the number got called, just the joy and relief and the sense that their child was going to get something good, mm-hmm, on the parents' face. And then, of course, the ones who weren't called, it was heartbreaking, because they're, you know, they were there hoping to be able to, mm-hmm, to get that for their kid. Really just a especially for students who would otherwise be trapped in underperforming cookie cutter neighborhood, mm-hmm, schools, mm-hmm, a chance to not have that, as they like to say, depend on their zip code, mm-hmm, but rather on their parents' willingness and motivation to get them into something better.
Mm-hmm. That brings up, I remember, and I interviewed the assistant principal, and this was a charter school. It was a Wall Street Journal article a couple of years ago, and he was an assistant principal at a charter school in Harlem. And he was in the same building, if you can believe it, as a public school. Mm-hmm. So the kids are the same demographics. Mm-hmm. The charter school, the results there were fantastic. And the public school, the results were dismal. Joshua, this is the same demographics, same kids. But one of the things about charter schools is parents have to be involved in the education as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, they have to be willing to, you don't necessarily have bus service. You don't necessarily have a lot of the extracurriculars available there. Those maybe have to come from the district. And so the parent really has to be much, much more willing to, first of all, to enroll, to look, to make sure that their kid gets enrolled in a charter school, to figure out which one they want to try for their kid. It requires, you know, it's much more than just checking off the form of what address you happen to have and therefore what bucket you're going to be put in for your neighborhood. It really does require an active, involved parent to make that work.
Well, you know, we need to be active in our children's lives. If you're engaged with your kids, the chances of them turning into a successful adults